What it means is like this. What it means is, and this is what Shmuel Levin couldn't say, it's a sharp idea, deep idea. He says a person, you could never really tell who a tzaddik is, because the motivation of the person could always be based on certain psychological phenomena. But a person who's doing it, not necessarily for the mitzvah kibud av aim, if he's doing it, he could really be a rasha. And he could be performing it for a totally different reason. You can't tell, you can never tell from a person's deeds whether he's a tzaddik. There's no way to tell. There's no way to tell, because there could always be an external motivation. There is a Gemara that says, Gemara is a question. The Gemara says by the Isha Shunamis that she asked, that she said that Elisha was a tzaddik. So the Gemara asks, Eichan yada, how do you know? What do you mean, how do you know? The answer is no. So the Gemara answers the question. There was no zvuv hashgacha. There was never a zvuv in his plate, and they never saw a carry on his bed. That's what he's doing. So Shmuel Levin says, that there's no way to know, there's never a way to know whether a person is about. So you can't ask the question about tzaddik or all that. But you just don't know. Why not? So he says that's in agreement with the Rambam, because the Rambam says about a Navi. Even a Navi, why do we listen to a Navi? A Lev Kishmon. It's just Allah. We do not know this man is a Navi. Yeah, impossible. That could be a total fraud. Because it doesn't mean a fraud in terms of, it means to say that a person's actions could be generated by a lot of different reasons. So you can't say, there are many psychological factors. So you can't know when a person doesn't actually want to listen. That actually really stems from Tzidkus. So you can't ask the kasha. It says, but a Rashi could tell. It's impossible for Tzadik to do certain actions which are evil. So that's why he says that the Navi always asks about, that's what the other Rashi says, so why does the Navi ask about the Rashi, not about the Tzadik? Nice idea. Okay. But it's an interesting thing. What do you see from, let's forget about the problem, but there's something interesting that you see from this pasuk in Yirmiyahu. From the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, and from the Chazal. It's a Chazal, basically, in this Rashi. And everybody knows Chazal. It says, why does God give the Rashi good in this world? He gives him good in this world. Latar domin olam. Rashi always says that. Latar domin olam. This is not really Rashi. The Rashi is in many places. Latar domin olam. In order to make sure that there's not a chelik in the world to come. That's what Chazal says. Latar domin olam. So God pays the Rashi good in order that he should never really have a chelik in olam haba. It's an interesting concept in general. I think, why should God do something which is harmful to a person? But that's what Chazal says. But what do you see from this? And this thing is an interesting thing, a very interesting thing. And this is really the question of Yirmiyahu. What's the question of Yirmiyahu? The question of Yirmiyahu is, he says, Netatom gam shel Rashi, Yelchu gam osu peri. Okay? What do you mean, Netatom gam shel Rashi? Netatom gam shel Rashi? What does he have to say? What do you mean by that? He said this, like, Madua derech reshoyim tzolecho, shaluko bogde bogde. Why does the Rashi have a flocha? No, it goes on. Netatom gam shel Rashi. Yael Kudam Osu Peri. I'll tell you why. You have to go on for a simple reason. Because if you would say the first pasuk Madua Derech Hashem Tzalecha, so the question could be understood like this. Why does the Rashi have a Tzalecha? Why does God permit the Rashi to have a Tzalecha? But the nature of it, what is that Tzalecha from? Is that Tzalecha is from the fact that Rashi is not a stupid person. He's intelligent. Rashi is intelligent. So the Rashi works things out, and he has a Tzalecha. So Yirmiyahu HaNavi is asking God, why is it that God allows the Rashi's Eitzah to be realized? You see, the Rashi gives a good Eitzah. Look, what did David Melech was inspired by Achitofel? Achitofel was a Rashi. He gave a terrific Eitzah. He was a genius. Brilliant mind. The prophet says, and if you ask Achitofel for something, you'd be like asking him to return. Same answer. Tremendous, tremendous genius. So David Melech was inspired to God, Hofer Atzas Achitofel. What does it mean, Hofer Atzas Achitofel? That according to the laws of nature, Achitofel's Eitzah should really be successful. But he doesn't know if it's inspired that Hashgacha should intervene If something should occur that would destroy his what would be the natural result that would take place from Hakutofa Spock. Rumble is the Hak. That was Hafa Tatakutofa. So if you say Madua, if you learn, if it was just the first pasuk, Madua Derech Hashem Tzalecha, Sholu Ko Boge Boge, if you just stop there, it would mean like this: why does God allow the rest of his intelligent ideas, to be Matzleya? He should intervene. He should intervene. Like by David HaMelech. You see? That would be the shot in the first part. But he goes on, he says like this: Nekatan Gamsha Rashi, Yelchu Gamashi Teru. Korov ato b'fiyem v'rochot yiko yotere. What is he there, Jeff? What is he there? He has an interesting thing. And I don't think people think about it that way. But it's a yisod niyadus. I mean, the Novi says it. It's a yisod. It means to say that there is such a thing as a special hashgacha for the rush of the Yom HaTorah. That's what I mean. There is such a phenomenon. Okay? That's what he says. Nitatom gam, wasn't Nitatom gam sharash? You planted that. You planted that. Korov ato b'fihem. The rochot b'fihem. Korov ato b'fihem. You should answer them. You answer them what they want. And you act according to what they ask. And according to their appearance. You see? Yelchu gam asuperi. Yelchu gam asuperi is not because of their natural ability. But there is such a phenomenon, and that's what this Chazal emphasizes. This is possibly another way. But it's an interesting thing. Yadis maintains that there is hashgacha, a special hashgacha, for the rock of the rock. Amazing. Special hashgacha. It means the Russia succeeds. Not only does the Russia succeed, does it mean that God doesn't intervene with the Russia. But it means to say sometimes God gives the Russia, and gives the Russia, that's like Dacha, and everything he does, you know, smashing success, even if he's making mistakes, like Dacha, that's what he's doing. So, in the case of Hitler, you must know, when they blew up the bomb in his office, he came out unscathed. Many attempts. When you read the history, you can't help think like it's just a man cannot be stopped. That's like Dacha. But you see, that could be a different thing. So sometimes that's a different kind of idea. That seems to be, in other words, the Russia has hashgacha on two levels. One level, when the Russia has hashgacha, is like the Rabbeinu Yonah says before. He says, "Vim batalta medivrei Torah yeshlocha harbe b'tanu k'negdecha." So Rabbeinu Yonah says, "Elu harashoyim adibim v'arayos abetelim imlocha shehem shevet mochiach ubohem akadosh baruch hu nifra min abetelim b'tanu Torah." Okay? You love the other Rosh Hashanah, which means to say that sometimes the Russia is using it as an instrument of destruction. That's a difference, but that doesn't seem to be the question over here. That's not the question of human law. In other words, sometimes the Russia is not here. It means that God decreed upon the nation terrible onus. So the onus is brought about through Russia, of course. So this Russia is not here because of the fact that. Is because of the fact that he's an instrument of an instrument. He just is Shevet Hashem, Shevet Mochiach. So that's a different kind of law. But that doesn't seem to be the question over here. Over here it's a different question. Because over here he seems to be asking why they're Matzliach and why they're entitled to this Hashgacha. You see? Why they're entitled to this Hashgacha. And if you look at Rashi now with that idea, what Rashi says is clear. Because it's like this. He says, Shana Dov Masu Dainu, Eliyad HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shehu Mevi Shalva L'Rasha Ba'olam HaZeh, Kidei Sheyitu Chelko V'Chelak HaTzadik B'Gehenna. Well, like Rashi says in many places, L'Tor Dom Min HaOlam. But what does he mean, L'Tor Dom Min HaOlam? We always use that Chazal, that God gives the Rasha HaSlach L'Tor Dom Min HaOlam. But what does he mean? Never mind what the objective is. But what do you see from the Chazal? What do you see from the Chazal? You see that a Rasha has a certain Hashgacha, HaSlach. Amazing statement in the narrative. But Chazal say that what is the purpose, what is the objective of the Hashgacha? The objective of the Hashgacha is the Torah and Allah. That's the objective of the Hashgacha. It means to say that sometimes a person falls under God's Hashgacha in a way that he could never be removed, he'll never have the effect of the Rambam says. That Ramlan's Batara, that God prevented him from doing Shiva. means that if a person sees an evil, so then God gives him atzlocha, because what propels a person more than anything else? Atzlocha. That's what propels a person. When a person is matzliach, then he keeps on going. The person is not successful, he stops. The person plays the stock market, and the first time he goes in, he makes $10,000 out of $1,000, you can be sure he's going to go in again. Okay? He's sure going to go in again. If he loses his money, some people go in and they keep losing their money. That's a different level already. But what causes the person to keep on going is the atzlach. Atzlach could be the worst thing, you see? So it comes out like this, that there is a shgocha, God gives a person a shgocha, he gives a rush a shgocha, in order to destroy it. Because every measure of atzlocha that he gains, propels him further in the same direction. He could never turn back. And this is a letardim and olam. That's a letardim and olam. There is such a hashgacha. There is such a hashgacha. It's part of our amunah. That's right. That's right. So there is a hashgacha Hashem. That's the derech she'adam rotsa leileich melichon Hashem. That's what it means. It means that if you see a person sets out on an evil course, so most people think they're going to be met with doom. No. And that was tremendous as well. Tremendous as well. But the purpose is that he can never turn back. It's Hashgachas Hashem to display. And the answer is, Targum and Olam. So why was he in the Yohanan so baffled by this aspect of the attack? Okay? That's the question. Right. The answer is like this. The question is, of course, the answer to the question is, because we say that apparently the Rambam says that Paro could not be Tshuva anymore because he lost, God didn't want him to be Tshuva. Okay? What it means is that when a person reaches a certain level, the question, of course, we have to ask is, why should God want to harm a person? You say that God prevents a person from doing tshuva, and he says this same person could have done tshuva, and he could have done tshuva, and he could have been a tzaddik. And the pasuk says the opposite: kilo yachpos, kilo sachpos, kilo samez. God doesn't want a rusher to die. God is only chesed, and therefore, if the rusher changes and become good, so why should God want to destroy him? Why should God want to destroy it? That's one question I'm trying to say. But at any rate, factually, that there is such a thing. There is such a hashgacha that the Russia reaches a certain point. That's what the Rambam talks about. There is such a hashgacha that Russia is a person who reaches a certain level, and he's not an Adam anymore, and that level that he reaches is beyond the level of Tshuva. Beyond the level of Tshuva. It means he's not on a level anymore where he can be defined as an other. He reduced himself to a state which, according to all laws of justice right now, this being must be erased, must be destroyed, his soul must be destroyed. But at any rate, the question that Yirmiyo is asking is like this. That's not the question. The question isn't it. So why is it so? The Targum and Olam. So what's Yirmiyo in all these questions? No. The question Yirmiyo is another question like this. Tzadikat Hashem, ki orvela. You're right. I can argue with you. Ach mishpotim ada berasa. Madu aderech ashonim tzolecha sholu kol bog de bode. Right? Then he goes on. Atatam gam tzorosho yeochu gam osu peru. Korovato befiyem v'rocho yitil yosein. What he means like this. What he means is that the hatzlocha of the Russia in order to destroy himself. That's true. There is such a hatzlocha. Justice demands that this person can never exist as a human being again. He reached a level where justice demands he can never exist as a human being again. So therefore what happens is that he's totally deterred him and all that. Okay, fine. But the question is like this. But the question is when the Russia's matzliach, it's not just for him, he affects everybody else. He affects the rest of the world. So people see the Hatzlachas of Russia, so they turn away from Tzedek and Mishpat. And the Hatzlachas of Russia is the worst thing for the world. The worst thing for the world is the Hatzlachas of Russia. That's why you have, like with the drugs. So what's the worst thing? The worst thing is, and then they show billions and billions of dollars. Tremendous stuff. What do you entice the person to go into such a person on a borderline, thinking about whether he doesn't really have that many scruples, and he's a very good at rationalizing. He sees a tremendous amount of flocker that these guys have, so he's drawn like a magnet to go into it. That flocker of Russia destroys the world. That was in the element of his kasha. His kasha was that the flocker of Russia fine. So why is it? That's what he said. He says, Mishpatim Adaber Asa. I can't understand how it works in terms of the overall plan. Because it's true that Russia may deserve to be destroyed, but you can't have both. You're going to destroy the Russia, you're also going to be destroying the entire world. The whole sense of justice in the world is going to be eliminated because people see the Hatzlacha of the Russia. So his question to God was, how is it possible that it's more important to destroy the Russia with Targum and the Olam than to save the whole society? That was the question he didn't have an answer. The destruction of the Russia, that's something that Yirmiyahu never understood. The destruction, see, the Torah Domino Olam is like this, that the only way a human being can really be destroyed is not by a physical death, because the human being has a soul. And the only way the soul can be destroyed is by totally being tied to evil. So the Hatzlacha of the Russia propels him to tie his soul to evil. So the soul can only be destroyed by being tied to evil. If he dies, he's not destroyed. There's only physical destruction. So there is such a thing as the destruction of the Russia soul, where it has no part whatsoever of the good. The good is taken away from the computer. So in order to do that, he has to have a Hatzlacha. But you know his kasha was, yeah, it's very nice, but this Hatzlacha is destroying the whole society. Where's the justice? Mishpatim Adaber Asah. That's the question of Yirmiyahu. Okay? That's a question for a Navi. It's not a question for us. It's a question for a Navi. I'm serious. Because a Navi, what is a Navi? A Navi is a person that's on the level. See, what does a Navi really do? A Navi is a person that's sent by God. It's not just a Shliach. It's not just a Shliach. A Navi really, and this is what the Ibn Ezra says by Yonah, that a Navi really is a person that's on the level of being concerned with the Klal, the Klal Yisrael. He has to be on that level, and he partakes of God's chokhmah insofar as that is concerned. If you see a person worrying, a regular person, and he has nothing to have, and worried about Klal Yisrael. So he's saying, who would worry about Klal Yisrael? He's a diver. And he has to be in a certain position. The Navi is an individual who partakes of God's chokhmah in terms of justice in the world. That's why when the Navi is sent on a shlichus, it means that shlichus, he partakes of that shlichus. That's why Yoni couldn't go on the shlichus, because he couldn't partake of it. It's not just a matter of a Navi being a shlichus. Go, and he goes, and does a mechanical action. It means he must partake of the concept of the shlichus, which means that he's on the level where he's concerned about Klal Yisrael and about the whole world. So then he's a person that's fit to be a Navi, to go on the shlichus. Yoni couldn't do the shlichus because he couldn't partake of that concept. He couldn't understand Rahman's Rakar Baruch. So he couldn't partake of the shlichus, you see. So a Navi's questions are different types of questions. We're concerned mainly with individual questions. If you're on the level, we're not on that level. But Yirmiyahu Navi was asking God this question because he was a Navi, a Shliach Hashem, that means he's concerned with justice in the world. That's his primary concern. He's on that level where he can share in the ideas of justice. He can partake of the ideas of justice of Rakar Baruch. So if he could partake of those ideas, then he's entitled to this type of a question. Madua Derek for showing Talecha. But an average person is not a question for him. Now he's not involved in it, he's not on a level to involve with the framework. A different framework. Another's framework is a different framework. But the kasha for another is not a kasha for us. Well, that's the kasha we are. It's like Avraham Avinu asked such a question. Avraham Avinu asked such a question. Rash ever goes and asks a mishpat, and then says it's gone. I mean, this is not a question for us. You have to be on the level to ask such a question of justice, of being shofet kolol and kula. We're not on that level. You can only see the question from a distance, in a descriptive form. So it's absurd for us to go into the answer to the question. I mean, you really ask the question, and he doesn't know the answer, and you say no. But aside from that, it's not a question. It's not a question. It's nice to know there's such a question. It's nice to know that there's a person that could be on the level that can have such a question. That's what we learn from the Yirmiyahu and up to. That's the limit for us. Just because there's no answer to a question doesn't mean that you're not troubled by the question. Because you're not troubled by the question in order to obtain the answer. You're troubled by the question because it's a paradox. Because it's a paradox. What if there's no answer? It's a paradox. If I show you a problem in physics that there's no answer to it, you say, look, I don't know the answer, so I'm certainly not going to think of an answer. So I shouldn't bother by the question. That's the person that's working on the narcissistic level. That's not an objective level. The objective level of question, every question has to bother a person. How could it be like this? But what I'm saying is that this question can't bother us. Not because you're in the ONU and you didn't understand the answer, there's nothing to do with it, but it would bother us too. It's a question. But the answers are not on the level for that question. So the last thing that we did was the question of the Hatzlachas of Russia. Why the Russia is successful. So we mentioned that from the Pasuk in Yirmiyahu and from other sources in Chazal, we see that the Russia has a special Hatzlachas. The Russian thing is as Hatzlachas of Russia. The only thing I want to mention is that Howard Burstein pointed out a Gemara, and rightly so. The Gemara in the Zayin and Beis Brachas talks about this very point. The Gemara says that Zayin and Beis. Tanya Namechet. The Gemara says that Mutal is Galus Bersayim Balamazet. One is permitted to outrightly go against the Shoyim in this world. They didn't openly attack the Russian. He says, whatever way possible. Tanya nam yachid, Rabbi Destroy, Rabbi Masna, Om Mutlis, Gash, Bashar, Om Alamazah. Shinam Ozei Torah, Yahal, the Russia. That those who praise the Russia are those who leave the Torah. They shouldn't praise the Russia, but on the contrary, should degrade them. Vim Lachsha, Fadim, Lomar, Vot, Sivot, Tishab, and Mureyim, Altakane, Bose, Avlo. And somebody's going to tell you what the pasuk says, and you shouldn't try to compete or to put down, destroy the people who do evil. Emolo misha libo nofo, my friend. And the person who says that is because he's afraid, he's frightened. He's frightened. So that's why he said that. But really, it's not a just defense. So Gemara says, it doesn't mean you shouldn't openly go against the Russian. So he says like this, but there's another part that says no. That says, Gemara Chazala says, as you see in Russia, Shor and Masachakas, well, he's successful, so you shouldn't go against him. Well, why? Because the prophet says, if he was Rachel Bechalais, he's always going to be successful. Hello, that was Shazel for the Din. Or even Shazel for the Din. Even Shazel for the Din. So the Gemara says, why? Because it says, Shinema, Moro Mishpatecho Minegda. Well, God will justify him in Din. Veloed el asherah b'tzorah. He sees that his enemy is destroyed. Shenema kol tzorah v'yafiach b'ayah. So he must look at they have a mil d'smayah. Depends. If it has to do with physical things, then he's going to be successful. But if it has to do with mil d'smayah, then he won't be successful. Well, it depends what the enemy is. He's just trying to destroy him because of his physical success, and then he's going to lose. But if it's because of the middle of Shmaya, then you shouldn't be afraid of it. So you must say, by the same Mahav the middle of Shmaya, Lord Tasha. Hobo Russia is a Shama Sakakas, or Hobo Russia is a Shama Sakakas. You must say, even by the middle of Shmaya, he'll be successful. Depends, though. If it's Shama Sakakas, well, you see he's being successful, don't start up with it. But ain't a Shama Sakakas, well, take care of it. The by the same Mahav the Russia is a Shama Sakakas, well. Moses, you might even say it's keeping in both cases where I show them to Mr. Well, Lokash, the Hobasai of Goma, Hobasai of Goma. Depends who goes against him. If the person is a tzaddik, so then he might lose. Because he's a tzaddik compared to the Russians, because it's not. But he's not a tzaddik Goma. Goma Ravuna might have said, Goma Tabit Bogdan, Tachis Bebela Russia Tzaddik Mimenu, Vichy Russia Bolea Tzaddik, it's possible that Russia destroyed the tzaddik. Foksiv, Hashem Leyes Nanabiyoda, God won't allow the Russia to take the tzaddik and destroy him. It's his loyal tzaddik all over him. Ela tzadik mimenu balei. He can destroy a tzadik, somebody's more righteous than him. Tzadik domain of balei. Okay? So you see, but the whole, so the Gemara says, tzadik domain can't affect, but a tzadik is not a tzadik domain, so he can destroy. So from the Gemara you see clearly, though, the principle that we've mentioned, namely, that there is such a thing as hashgachas harasha, the special hashgachas harasha. Special hashgacha, Rush is under special hashgacha at a certain time. We don't know when, but the Gemara says that Hashem is a hashgacha, he's been successful, and you can assume that he's under this hashgacha, that he should be successful, and the purpose of the hashgacha is, of course, for his destruction. But there is such a phenomenon. And that's the question we know. That's good, you're right. Okay, that's the Gemara, it's not the Gemara. That's not under the Gemara. Sadagama can't affect us. Sadagama is a different kind of a duck. Let me explain that one. Sadagama means that he's completely related to he's related to God in a way that he bypasses the natural causes. That's Sadagama. That's only very few people on the left. That's like the other. So he bypasses the natural law. He's directly related to God. He causes the natural law. But someone who's not a tzadigamah is not on that level. He's not related to God in that way. So then the Russian is a 17th destruction out of Russia. That's what they're asking about. Rav Masi ben Choras Omer, having magdim b'sholom kolada, means simply, having magdim b'sholom kolada means a practical thing. It means you should always be the first one to say hello. That's what it means. You always be the first one to say hello. So, and Rashi says, I told you it's not Rashi, but it's a Pirush. It's a Pirush of it's an old Pirush. The Sholom Kaladam, so he says, Vafilu Ovi Kachovim Beshok, Gemara says, even a guy, Midnei Dake Sholom, Kidamin lo kidmani odom b'sholom afilu od kham b'shok. The one Amorayim said, and no one ever said hello first to me. I always said hello first to me. Even a guy in the church. That's what it says. So this Pirush says because of Dake Sholom. Dake Sholom means that Dake Sholom really is on two levels. There's two levels of Dake Sholom. First of all, Dake Sholom means for practical purposes. That's Dake Sholom. To be protective of Bar Yisrael, as Dr. Shalom. But the Rambam understood Dr. Shalom in a more extreme way. According to Rambam, Dr. Shalom is not just in order to protect himself. But Dr. Shalom really is a midah for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Midah for Kadosh Baruch Hu. So God's midah is such that his derech is the derech of Shalom. So therefore, if a person is involved in Dr. Shalom, not just for himself, not just to say a father's Shalom, not just to bless himself, he's emulating the ways of God. God's ways of Shalom. It's in Hilchos Melachim, the end of Perek Yud. Rams like this. Afilu ha'akum, sivu chachomim levaker choleihem, v'lichbor meiseihem in meisei Yisrael. No. So he refused to go visit the sick of Goyim and to bury them, to bury the Goyim with the Mesa Yisrael. And Rafanis on the Yehim Bechlal on the Yisrael. And he used to say in the same manner, type of trouble. He made Dr. Shalom. Hare Nema, the prophet says, Tov Hashem Lakol, Barachem of Hakol Ma'asov, Hare Nema, Drachea Dachem Noam, Lakol Mesu Vesertov. So he quotes Tov Hashem Lachol, Rachmo Rachomach, and means Dr. Shalom doesn't just mean he's going to be in order to keep peace, that you should be in a good situation. By emulating the ways of God. Tov Hashem Lachol, Rachmo Rachomach. So Dr. Shalom means that you're acting in a way that God acts. Rachmo Rachomach. That's Rachmanach and all his teachers. So you too, you should have Rachmanach on his teachers. And Goyim, Abachal, Masa. That's what I'm doing. According to Rambam, Dr. Shalom is more extreme than temperance. That's what I'm saying. Okay. So according to this Pirush, Rashi, it comes out that that's the reason why she magdim shalom l'chalad. Magdim shalom l'chalad. Let's take a look at Ben Yonah. Ben Yonah says like this. He says, Rav Masin l'chalad shalom, magdim l'chalad. He says, V'hu mi derech ha-mosa. V'hu mi derech ha-mosa. What is v'hu mi derech ha-mosa? It's different. Not that the shalom l'chalad. What is derech ha-mosa? It means like this, it means that there's always a type of a social hesitation. There's a social, a person is usually very concerned with his social station, where he stands.
Right.
And a person, the worst thing for a person is to lower his ego and to be sort of defeated, you see? Now, if you extend a big hello to somebody and there's no response, it's a very degrading experience. Emotionally, you feel very hurt. You feel a little good after hearing. Now I extend myself and there's no response. So usually, because of that, people are hesitant to go over and say hello to somebody else. Somebody else says hello to you, so they respond because he recognizes it. Well, you should recognize him and he should recognize you. There is a danger. There is a danger, an emotional danger. Plus he's afraid. He's not going to feel that. And if somebody won't answer him properly, he'll be very upset and angry at the person. So, in human social intercourse, there's always that danger. A person always tries to keep himself in a good position, and he doesn't want to be in a defeated position. And therefore, he doesn't want to extend shalom and be the first one to extend shalom because he's putting himself at risk. There's an emotional risk involved. So Ben Yonah says, that's why Amara said, I was always mocking shalom of Allah and Mahfilo Akhim Bashar. He said, you overcame that emotion. You overcame that emotion. That's why he says, you shouldn't care. Yes. It's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? Okay, why is it a good thing? Because it's a good thing because only a person who believes in the reality, in the social reality, would be affected by this. The person who believes in his essential value is the social reality, so that person would be affected by such a thing because then it's going to bother him. That he extended a load of this other person, lowered himself, this other person refused to respond, treated him like he's nothing. So only a person who truly values, who considers the social reality to be the true reality, he will be disturbed by such a thing. The person who knows it's all nonsense, and on the contrary, if the person didn't answer him properly, that other person probably had the satisfaction of thinking he's lower than him. Well, very good. Yeah. It's training for the person to recognize in practice that the social reality is not the ultimate reality. Even the lowest person, even Akhim Bashuk, where it's an ordinary person, he's lowering himself to a tremendous degree. Because he's lowering himself. Look at Dr. Schultz. You see, I would say that there's something a little more to it. Because the point is, if that's the case, then it comes out just like an exercise. So that's a strange thing. That a person suggested that the member could say to do this, just to put yourself at risk, it sounds like a certain type of a fixed muscle where they go into a stage of thing, that's what they go into a drugstore, that's what they're tipping. Just like to be able to accept social degradation. So that you shouldn't think that the social reality is true. But that would be a strange thing to say that that's why they did it. Just as a crazy kind of activity. But they did it for no other reason other than to cope in order to improve yourself emotionally. Ask me something more than that. Or is there some other crazy thing? You know what I mean? Why this? there has to be something in the very action itself which is valuable. You know what I mean? It can't be you're just doing this action in order to place yourself at risk, and therefore now I place myself at risk, and now I'm a great person. There's nothing more to it. Because all that play is doing just a crazy thing just to improve your emotions. There's a lot of victims, there's a lot of crazy things. There. What is the... There must be some value in it, some inherent value in it. Something more to it. I think it's all right. I think the point is like this, that the truth of the matter is, apparently what Chazal held is, that a person should be, a person should have the recognition for the Tselem Elokim. See, it doesn't say that he went over to a door and patted the door. You think that would be even a bigger degradation? But it says a fellow Akam Bisha. What it means is like this. What it means is that the truth of the matter is that a person should have a natural identification and a natural love for any being that's a Tselem Elokim. Even though the Tselem Elokim is not perfect. But there should be an identification because of the fact that he's a Tselem Elokim and this is a Tselem Elokim also. But because of a person's haughtiness, he wants to make himself different, feel that he's different and superior to other people. So he breaks the basic identification of himself as being a part of the species. There should be an identification with the species. And there should be a love of the species. Very few people have that because their haughtiness prevents them. They don't want to be identified with other people. They don't want to think they're just one of the species. They want to think that they're something special. Very special people, you see. And children are raised that way today. It's only a very special person. It's exactly the opposite of what perfection is. Perfection demands on the contrary. You should recognize that he's part of the species. There should be a love of the species. You see, great people had a love of the species. You see, I mean, among our great people, certainly, I mean, you see Moshe Ben Yisrael, Sephar Yisrael, and the whole purpose of Torah is really not just Sephar Yisrael, but for all the Umos HaOlam. And the time of the ultimate redemption, the Novi always talks about all the Umos recognizing the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And my Sierra Tel Aviyon and Mitzrayim, and God really wanted the Mitzrayim, that the Mitzrayim should really embrace the Torah. So you see that there should be a natural love of the species among in a person who's perfected, that have a love of the species. And that's why you see that great people are concerned about the species, concerned about mankind, concerned about mankind's existence, the existence in the future. A person should have a natural love for the species because that's the Tselem Elokim, and he's a part of the species, and therefore there should be an identification with the species, even though they may be imperfected. But the humanity as a whole, a person should have a love for humanity. They have a love for humanity. The Yadis demands, of course, that the love for humanity expresses itself primarily in a love of Klal Yisrael. And secondarily, in love of in a direct love of humanity. But even the love of Klal Yisrael itself contains in it a love of humanity. That's the purpose of Machpelah. Come see the Mamlach Hashmoni the day Kodesh. So it means for all of humanity. Of course, it doesn't have humanity. It doesn't have a love for humanity. It's something missing. And you see that the great people in history were concerned about humanity. Concerned about it. It's a lofty level. Person is on a high level experience such a thing, such a field. So that's why it says having mocking trouble with Halada. It means to say that by doing that, he's expressing the fact that he doesn't break his identification with other people just because they're on a lower level of perfection. A person shouldn't break his identification. A bona fide didn't break his identification with anybody. See, even the passerby, the Arab that was passing by, took him into his house. He spoke to him. He tried to teach him the idea of God, because he had a love for the Tselem Elokim. Tselem Elokim represents the highest level of physical being in this world. It represents the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to create such a being. This being deserves respect and identification. Kavod Abir. Racham Ava Kol Maaseh. That's really Dr. Shalom. That's really the essence of Dr. Shalom. Welcome to the whole market. So, what? Yeah, for Gav Yona, the Akash Baruch Hu sent the Navi for Goyim, to save Goyim. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, right, that's right. Yeah, the whole Marshal of the Rahman for Akash Baruch Hu, right. So so that's why it's a Magdim Shol L'Chalada means that a person, by doing that, overcomes the whole concept of the social stance and placing yourself in jeopardy by first going out and saying hello, extending a hello to somebody else, is based upon the fact that a person wants to consider himself separated, different from other people. He wants to break his identification and consider himself superior. That's a bad meter. That's a bad meter. So really, a person should go out of his way when he's magdim shalom l'chalom, this is a full rock in the shuk, even a guy. Why? Because by doing that, a person reinstates his recognition that he's a member of the species of Adam, and there's an identification between him and between this other human being. And it breaks his emotional desire for superiority, which places him at risk, which by placing himself at risk, he recognizes this concept. It doesn't matter. This or another. And if he doesn't answer me properly, and I'm embarrassed, it doesn't matter. He deserves respect for the Talmud again. That's the level of protection. That's what I think is my thing, Talmud, how long you make any difference. No. Okay. Sometimes, this works in different, on different planes. In other words, it's a different thing. Like, Taro is a Russian. But Moshe Ben Shulim is a speckless star mouth. Sometimes a person can be a rusher, but the position that he assumes partakes of something that's great, and therefore he deserves respect. Not him personally, but because of his position. Stam a rusher in there. Now we have another, next one. Okay? Now it's like this. It says, V'hevi zonov v'aroyos v'alti rosh v'shuara. What does it mean? Zonov arroyos. Zonov is the tail of a lion. Very famous member. And you should, better than being the head of what? The head of a bunch of foxes. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what does it say? So let's say the Rambam. They both say practically. Both practice it at the same time. I'll tell you what they say, and you tell me if there's something difficult with it. Okay? It's just like this. The Rambam says, Omar, Shabios Odom Talmud Lemishu Chacham Mimena. If a person is Talmud to someone who is with a greater Chacham than him, Yosef tells law. Better for him. The Yosef Roy, Mi Yosef Rav Lepachos Mimena. It's much better than being a Rebbe to someone who is lower in the Chachmah than Yosef. He says, Kibbe Inyan Arishon Yosef, because in the first way he'll increase his knowledge, Kibbe Inyan Hashem Yechza, the second way he'll lose. Va'ata Tovim Mashabiyan of the Sanhedrin, so the Rambam goes on to Allah and Sanhedrin, they take a person who's the head of 23, and when they move him up, they make him at the bottom of the last one of the Sanhedrin Dola. He had the Shuras Talmidim. They put him in the Shuras Talmidim, so he's lower. So he's really very lower. Okay. So Ram brings the proof from that. And the Rabbein Yonah says something similar. So he says like this. He says, Alti Rosh Hashan Lomala. Shenoach lo lo odom, Rabbein Yonah says. Liyos Talmud lo mishigol lo yonah b'chachma, sheyisu b'chol yom mosif al chachma. Liyos ha rav lo mi shekoto mimena b'chachma. Same thing as the Rama. What's the question? There's one question in the statement. There's one part of the statement that's very important. Well, Marshall, that's right. In other words, there's one thing that they both say that really doesn't fit in according to our understanding of how a person gains knowledge. So tell you, the first part's very good. It says that Kibinyan Arishon, if the person will be a Talmud to someone who's a greater Chacham than he is, so it says Yosef, will increase his knowledge. That's good, that's fine. But the Rambam says, but if he's going to be the head if he's going to be a Rebbe to people who are lower than him in Chachma, he's going to lose. And Rabbi Yonah says the same thing. He says, if he's the son of Shirinsu B'chol Yom Mosef HaChachmasa, every day is going to gain more knowledge, because he's gaining more knowledge from the Rebbe. He says, Miyoso Rav Misha Koton Mimeno B'chachma, it's better than being a Rebbe to someone that's lower than you in Chachma. Shirinsu Pokes V'holech MaChachmasa. He keeps on diminishing from his Chachma, the Pokes V'holech. He keeps getting less and less. Question is, why does he get less and less? I can understand that the person doesn't gain. That's true. Person won't gain, because the point is the Rebbe opens up his eyes in new spheres. Develops his mind, opens up his mind in some new areas, new spheres, new levels of abstract thought. So that is a most of a whole life. I mean, he's gonna most of a whole. But why is it that if he remains a Rebbe to those that are inferior to him in knowledge? So why should he be a Tokes V'Holech? Why should I say that every day he's losing his powers are diminishing? He's diminishing his Chachma. Why is he diminishing his Chachma? He's saying the contrary. You tell me the Yosin Kulam. How about the Mantra of Bezra? You tell me the Yosin Kulam. You tell me the Yosin Kulam. So on the contrary, so you see the Talmudim when the Rambam says, Mahfizim Daito Shel Rav, and a person that doesn't recognize this, can't really broaden his mind in Chachma. On the contrary, Talmudim are Moshe. The Rebbe is a Moshe the whole way. So why should it say over here that if he remains a Rebbe to those that are inferior to him in knowledge, he just remains a Rebbe to Talmudim, there's going to be a Pokes the whole way. Or the way around. They both say the same thing. I mean, one of them will say, the people say, well, maybe look, it's Rav Dafka. You see, they both say the exact same thing. Rambam says also. Rambam says that being Hashem Yechsa. Question. The question, what kind of thing? You say one kind of thing, somebody else can do it. Of course, there's a difference between the Talmud Yesh Mitzvah, between Habel Amalek and Bosai, and it means really things from Rebbe, he gains qualitatively. But in terms of once he has that qualitative aspect of learning, to really develop it and to bring it out and perfect it, that requires Chazam. And the different levels of thought, once he is in his Talmudim, open up the person's mind and affect what he needs to accumulate, so to speak. In terms of being kind of what he has, that's what Talmud has to say. There aren't tons of qualitative aspects, you see. He's one of our ayahs. So what is the why does it say that Tokhes V'Holeh? That's the problem. You have to say, let's say, for instance, the Rambam, when he was a Talmud, for the Rambam, he was a Talmud, was doing it. But then the moment he became so great that he was only a Rebbe for others, and he started losing. He came out at the end of his life, and he left, and he did in the beginning and the middle of his life. What's referring to is the person's outlook towards God. That's what it's referring to. If a person's outlook towards God knows that, why is he enjoying the Chachma? He enjoys the Chachma because the Chachma represents the superiority that he has over other people. Because he's the Rebbe and the Talmidim. So therefore, what he enjoys is the power. And knowledge can be a tremendous source of power. So he enjoys being the Rosh, you see. If that's the case, that's one emotional attitude. The other emotional attitude, on the contrary, is an attitude where the person looks for Chachma. It's on the contrary. The fact that he has a Rebbe makes him feel happy, because the point is now he's attached to the idea of being a Talmud, of gaining. Of gaining knowledge. It's not a source of power for him. The contrary, it's a source of gaining knowledge. So he feels that he, think it's an opportunity that he has the Rebbe. He's understood the power, he said. So then he's Zon of Laraios. But the truth of the matter is, what Chazal are referring to is the attitude of the person. So a Rebbe can also be a Zon of Laraios. A Rebbe can also be a Zon of Laraios. Who are the Araios that he's a Zon of Laraios? Yeah. Chazal, exactly. His attitude is always a kind. He's always a kind. Okay. And it's an interesting thing that the fact that you see the term Talmidei Chachamim, what does it mean Talmidei Chachamim? Does it mean Talmidim that are wise, or does it mean Talmidim of the wise? Is it simplest? It means Talmidim of the wise. And the proof? Plural. You know plural, right? Oh, Talmidei Chachamim. But there's another point. The Talmud Chacham means a Talmud of a Chacham or a Talmud that is a Chacham. The proof is the plural, because the plural should have been Talmudim Chacham. Okay. Talmudei Chacham is here. That's the proof. So you see that Talmudei Chacham means that they always. Who are they Talmidim of? Talmidim of the Balei HaMasorah. And they're Talmidim of the earlier Balei HaMasorah. Back to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a Tiagvua. So it's always a Talmud. Always a Zon of Laraios. A true Rebbe is always a Zon of Laraios. It's the attitude of the Rebbe doesn't have to be a person, the doctor that's alive. A Rebbe could be Lachem Yisrael, could also be a Rebbe. The Rav one time brought a riot. In fact, the Rambam called his Rebbe the Rima Gash. And the Rima Gash died 2 years before the Rambam was born. So the Rebbe one time was a riot. So see that, even though I saw recently that they want to say that's not true. They want to say that there's a star of a lot of that. But anyway. That's good. Ram wrote that to somebody, he said he called him a Talmud by reading his works. So it comes out that if a person is, it's an interesting thing though, what they're saying is like this, what they're saying is if a person is interested in knowledge, only to be a Rosh Hashanah, so it comes out of necessity is a Tochei Sahara. He has to be a Tochei Sahara. Very simple, because he can't be open to any new ideas, because he's not looking for it. It's only what he has, and what he has has to be talking about it. Okay. I wish him much better. Either he has to be stagnated in his own thing. That's why. It's the attitude of stagnation. It doesn't mean that if he's ready, that he's going to be naturally stagnant. Mishnah Tezan. Let's go like this. Rabbi Yaakov Omer. Ha'olam hazeh doma leprozdor b'pnei ha'olam haba. Asking atzmacha beprozdor kidei shetikunes v'tzachon. Yep. You see? Ha'kavon yidu sheb'olam hazeh yikne adam ha'malo shebahem yizkeh l'olam haba. Kizeh olam omnamu derech u'mabo l'olam haba. What it means to say is that the Rambam. So it means that, like Chazal said, Rashi said, this is very, not too much, everybody swings around the same way. There's only one chuck. He says, Arotzel Likone Sefer Melech Masakin Rosho Zekono, Machavim Abishav, and Mechachar Bias, Kach Soch, Lord Masakin, Atzmo Bola Mazeh, Bechiva Matzi Tovim, B'mi Shetorach Barav Shabbos, Yochal B'Shabbos. Okay, and the Shlomo Dimur in the Mullah, Shlomo Lechem of Allah in the Mullah also. So he says that what a person should prepare himself in this world is only a preparation for the next world. That's what he means. Yeah, this world is just a preparation for the next world, so you should prepare yourself in this world so that you should be able to enter the next world. Okay. let's take the next member, too. Both members will get there. Here's one of them. Huayoma. Yoseh shor achas b'tshuva u'masim tovim b'olam hazeh m'kol chaye olam haba. M'kol chaye olam haba. Okay, one moment of tshuva u'masim tovim in this world is greater than the whole chaye olam haba. V'yoseh shor achas shor kol asruach b'olam haba m'kol chaye olam hazeh. And the one moment of enjoyment and satisfaction in olam haba is worth more than all the enjoyment the person can have in this world. Seems like it's going to be that. You could say that Shiva Masi Tovim is better than even Olam Haba. Shiva Masi Tovim is better than Olam Haba. But that would be kind of crazy, because we just said before that the whole purpose is, that's right, that's why you have the previous moment. Asking Asmachal B'Kuzbik, and they should come to track it. So what's the purpose of the Olam Hazeh? It could be Shiva Masi Tovim. In order to what? In order to have Olam Haba. Never going to tell me Shiva Masi Tovim is better than Olam Haba, because logic is like this. Olam Haba is better than Kol Chai Olam Hazeh, right? And Shiva Masi Tovim is better than Olam Haba. So come up with the Sanhedrin say to be Shiva Masi Tovim in order to get Olam Haba. On the contrary, stay here, Shiva Masi Tovim, right? Okay. But you understand that would be absurd to say that Shiva Masi Tovim is the ultimate benefit. It's better than Olam Haba. It can't be. It's impossible. It can't be. Yeah. So that's why it's an actual result. Nobody learns all that. Okay. The Ram explains. It means like this. What it means is like this. It says, Kva bi'ayna l'per kibi sanhedrin she'ein acha ha'moves shleimus v'lo tosef. If the person dies, there's no more perfection. Omnon, yashlim ha'odam v'yosef ma'ila ba'olam hazeh. That it's the only place that a person can protect himself is in this world. That's Tshuva Masi Tovim. That's the only place that he can protect himself. Ve'olzer Rama Shlomo ba'omro ki'im ma'isa v'cheshbon v'das v'chokhma b'shol asher t'holot shalom. What it means is that's t'holot. What it means is that whatever perfection a person does, whatever amount the person perfects himself in this world, the moment that he dies, that is the way he's going to remain. Ela ba'oso matzav she'odam hole, bohu nishalol. The level that he's on, at the time of his death, that's the way he remains forever. Ulefichah, roi l'shtadel b'zman ha'kotzer amur hazeh. Therefore, a person should try, in the small amount of time that he has, in this life, v'lo la'aviro ela b'limudim bovad. And you shouldn't spend the time except with learning. Except with learning. Elder Mulah. The Pishaf Sido Otsum, Shemimlo Chalitah. The Enef Shores Tashmim Lekah. He says because there's no making it up. There's no making it up. He says, Shef Sido Mulah, he's Akha Shemimlo Tmur, Elo Takana. He says, I'm going back to the continuum. The kasha yedu ha-chasidim zeh, and when the chachomim saw this, they knew this, lo ro'u l'chaloso ela b'chochmo u b'tosefes ha-mailos v'zichu z'manon kulo al derech ha-emes v'lo kizu m'menu b'inyone ha-gashmius ela z'man kotzim ha-ol. The chachom were very careful, therefore, because they recognize this, not to waste any time, not to waste any time, except for a small amount, with the Dova Tzorach Shi Echshir, Zulasa. Only that which is absolutely necessary for themselves, they thought. Only that which is absolutely necessary in terms of their physical existence. He says, and that's why the Chacham only spent their time in Gashmias, enjoying the physical, only that which is absolutely necessary. They kept away from everything else. Yeah. He says, "Lo idun lo b'yonim adufim lo zman katzim ol v'dovah shi'etsu b'loda." Only something is impossible to be with. That's really the Ramchal says. Ramchal says. But the Ramchal is the one place where he gives an explanation. He asks a question. Of course, Chazal are called the Sasha. One is Chazal says the person who's going to enjoy something in this world and doesn't enjoy it, he's going to be managed for it. On the other hand, Chazal say that a person, many Chazal say, you should have any enjoyment of this world. The Gemara says, you don't necessarily have this much enjoyment of the whole world. So he said, the contrary, you're not supposed to enjoy this world. So he says, the answer is very simple. The answer is whatever is necessary. Echa. Dovara. So Chazal made sure not to enjoy anything other than that which is absolutely necessary. Okay? He says, Vacherim Otsiru Zmanam Kulo Begashmi. And other people spend their time completely in the physical, Levad. Vyotsin Yimana Kasher Bo'er. Kolema Shabbat Tenyola. Another possible word. That says that he came into the world naked and he knew who I was. He knew nothing. Vyotsidu Kulo Hexer Alonis. And they've lost eternally. Eternal loss. Which they can never make it up. Because any amount of time that a person, and I told you this, and this is from also, that even though the Gemara says that a person can become a shah along with the other, it's not going to be the same Olam, it's going to be the same Olam as if he was Osek and Tar and Chachma all his life. So every moment that passes by that he wastes is completely lost. Okay, that's why Chazal were very careful. He says like this, he says, V'amon and Kulam, and V'amon am, Yehafku ha'emes, Ezos ha'she'ela. He says, V'amon am, turn everything around, the opposite way. V'yomu, Sha'atata Rishona, Tzidu ha'ola. And they say just the opposite. That the person that didn't enjoy this world, he lost his whole life, he lost the world. V'atata achrona, Yerviku ha'ola. And the second group, the group that spent their time in physical and psychological enjoyments, that they gained the whole world. Vo'in behepach, commercial supply. He says he means exactly that. Vein son choshech lo'or v'or l'choshech. Vo'oi l'ma'abdim ha'emes. Woe unto those that leave the truth. Vo'in hazeh also shlomo all of ha'shalom ikka b'koheles. The Shibcho Ravochas Olam, Idinuso Hefsedo, Idiru Shein Reva Fatin Acha Mothers, Minadova Sheibotin Menu Haina, the Zekulonis. Let's see how he's there. Olam is in there. The Ein Zehu Shalokas from the Yisod, the Paras Kashet Shibach as Reva Olam. Igniso Hefseda, the Filosh Omash in Yerach Lechoros Acha Amodas Lahasid Mashi de Lokah. That a person can never make up for what he lost for. It calls him up. When Tisbona, this is like this, Tisbochen at Sefer Hu Bezosa Bechina Yisbar Amos. If you look at the Sefer of Koheles under this framework, you'll understand what it is. Yes, sir. When Tisbona Bosa Sefer Bezosa Yisbar Amos. If you study the safe of Koheles under this framework, you'll understand the truth. That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying the big soda from Koheles, one of the main themes, the main theme of Koheles is this idea. That, we'll get into what he means by the safe of Koheles. So if you take the safe of Koheles, that's the main theme, or certainly one of the main themes of the safe of Koheles. The main theme. Okay. So what is the name? So it means like this. So Yofesh Yachasu Ma'isim tells him Mikol Chayel Mazeh. What does it mean? It means to say Yofesh Yachasu Chuv Ma'is Tovim Ba'ol Mazeh Mikol Chayel Mazeh. I'm sorry. Yofesh Yachasu Ma'isim tells him Ba'ol Mazeh Mikol Chayel Mazeh. What does it mean? It's better than Kol Chayel Mazeh. What does it mean? Yeah. So what does it mean? It means to say that tshuva, that in other words, I guess, if a person does not do tshuva and masim tovim, but he has a lower level than olam haba. So kol chayei haolam haba cannot make up for that loss. That's what it means. The kol chayei haolam haba can't make up for that loss. Okay? Anything? In other words, what it's saying, the statement is like this. Yofe sho achas, and you have to say in a minute. Yofe sho achas, b'tshuva mas, and tovim ba'olam hazeh, mikol chayei olam haba. What does it mean? It doesn't make any sense. The tshuva isn't for the purpose of shiur. The tshuva is only for the purpose of... So it's like saying, yofe chayei olam haba, mei olam haba. It doesn't make any sense. Right? You understand what I mean? How does the member work out? So the member works out like this. That a person, let's say for instance, a person has a certain level of my book. A certain level of my book. But he doesn't do an act of tshuva and masi kovim that he could have done. So what he's saying is that his kol chaye ha'olam haba will not be enough, you understand, to make up for that, for the loss that he has. So you say, of course he has, you can't make up the loss. You know what I mean? You can't, it's natural, you can't make up the loss. So what is it? What's the chiddush? What's the chiddush? Now what it means to say is, what it means to say is that there are different qualitative levels in all of my life. That's what it means. And it means to say that you can't, that a person who reaches a different level, his high level is a qualitative experience, not a quantitative experience, a qualitative experience. So a person that could have been on a different level, that means the quality of the Chai Olam Haba would have been a different one. And no quantity, no matter how extended, on the lower level of Chai Olam Haba can make up for even a moment of the higher level. That's what it means. Yofeh, that's what it means. Yofeh Shor Achas Kachiva Masi Tovim Ba'olam Hazeh Mikol Chai Olam Haba. It means a person who has a Chai Olam Haba. But he could have done Shiva Masi Tovim, he could have reached a different level. Qualitatively differentiated level. Right? So Kol Chaye Olam Haba cannot make up for one moment of the type of Chaye Olam Haba he would have had if he would have done Shiva Masi Tovim. You know what I mean? That's what I mean. That's what I mean. Because a different quality of Chaye Olam Haba, which is not Tovim. That's what the Rambam says. What it means is that there's no way to make up for it. He's always going to have the lower level of Chai Olam Haba. And that lower level of Chai Olam Haba, he's stuck with. He can't reach a higher level. He can never reach a higher level qualitatively. So the Kol Chai Olam Haba could never make up for the amount, for the qualitative change that he could have brought about in terms of his Chai Olam Haba. Okay? That's what it means. So why is that so? Because the Chai Olam Haba, no matter how extended, he can never reach the higher level. So it means he's stuck with this level of Chai Olam Haba, and he can never reach a higher level of Chai Olam Haba. So one moment of Tshuva Masim Tovim is worth more than the entire Chai Olam Haba, because that Chai Olam Haba is fixed, he can't improve upon it, and this moment of Tshuva Masim Tovim will give him a totally different quality of Chai Olam Haba. That's what it means. Okay? Yeah. The Yofe Shor Achas Shor Koros Yoch Ba'olam Haba Mikol Chai Olam Hazeh. What does that mean? That means simply that all the enjoyment that a person has in this world, the greatest situation that a person can envision of satisfaction in this physical world, the greatest situation a person can envision of satisfaction in this world, Tana is qualitatively differentiated from the enjoyment that a person has in all of my life. It's a different kind of a thing. Different kind of a thing. Yeah, that goes back to, well, that's tied to the idea of Tosdok, you see? Why is that so? So he says, the Pirush Yitzchak says, we call Koras Ruach Shalom Azel, if we shame by Lord and Koras Ruach Shalemah, a person can't really have a good Koras Ruach Mitzvah. Why it made Soros, Veros, Habos, Allah. And the Yom HaMisa Shem Yisyari Mimah. An interesting thing. He says that a person can have a good life. Because of the Soros and the Ros that kind of befall him. And because of death. And he's always afraid of death. The Yom HaMisa Shem Yisyari Mimah. It's an interesting thing. He says, therefore, a person who fears death prevents a person. There's an Ibn Ezra says that in Kehelos also. It says, "Vamavis bein einav tana." So the person always has the specter of death in front of his eyes. He says he can never really enjoy life. It turns out it's a strange phenomenon. Why? Because if you're not afraid of death, it's probably because you're not enjoying life. And if you're enjoying life tremendously, so then the next step is that you're going to have to be afraid of death. I mean, it's a natural thing. Yeah. But what is it? But he says because of the Tzoros and the Ross that befall you. What does he mean, the Tzoros and the Ross that befall you? Anyway, he says because of the different Tzoros that befall a person. But the thing is, so that's like the beginning of the Tzoros Hashem, says that. Like there's so many Tzoros in the world, and there's this, and there's pain, and he has to work so hard, and there's this sickness, and then after that, he says, Acha calls our mother. Right then. They get away. So what's the shot? Yeah, but a person has a strange nature, because a person always envisions in his mind, you see, he always envisions in his mind that why do I have to have these sorrows? I mean, for every sorrow that a person has, he can always look at somebody else who doesn't have that sorrow. You know what I mean? So therefore, he can always say that, how could this member is stating, the member is saying that Shor Achas, the Olam HaBoa is worth more than Kol Chai Olam HaZeh. It has to be Chai Olam HaZeh in the most perfected possible way. So really, when this Pirush says over here, and there, Tzoros, Ros, HaBoz, HaLov, I mean, if you want to really give it a good chance, you should say it's better than even the one moment of Olam HaBoa. It's better than even the greatest form of Olam HaBoa, without the Tzoros, without the Ros. You know what I mean? That's the problem when people read this Chazon. If they read the Chazon, yeah, fine. But who says I have to have Tzoros? Well, I have to have Tzoros. Okay. The answer is like this. The answer is, you see, the answer is these Tzoros are not referring to the, there is a certain amount of happenstance. There is a certain amount of Tzoros that happens to a person that a person has to recognize that by the law of nature, he can't escape. Okay? Certain amount of Tzoros a person can escape. Then the person will imagine that he'll have a perfect life, but he has to know that even in the most, the reason why you always find people always have Tzoros, because no one does not have Tzoros. Why is it? Well, it's not accidental. It's not an accidental thing. It's something built in the law of nature, in the laws of the human cycle. It's built in there, yes. Now, it's built in two ways. Built in terms of externals, it's built in, and it's built in even more so in terms of the psyche itself. So the nature of the satisfaction that the psyche wants does not conform to the situation that exists in the physical Olam HaZeh. That's basically what he's saying. That's what he means by the soul. The psyche does not want to have any frustrations or any pain. The psyche wants total pleasure. But the world that the psyche desires is not the physical world that we live in. Okay? That's why he says it's Tzoros and Ros. Tzoros and Ros doesn't mean it happens to him. It happens to Tzoros all the time. That's true. But a person in his imagination never wants to accept that. He always wants to accept that he's going to live a life where there are no Tzoros. But what he's talking about is the different kind, the built-in Tzoros. The Tzoros that have to exist because of human frustration. And what is human frustration? Human frustration is frustration comes from the fact that the desires of the psyche, the desires that the person wants, this world does not conform to that. And therefore, inherently, it's impossible for him to ever really have a totally enjoyment in this world. You see, the desires of the psyche are the desires of fantasy. And the desires of fantasy, just the world, the way it's constructed, just does not conform to that. So therefore, he always has to have a tremendous amount of frustration. There's no way that he can live without a tremendous, a high level of frustration. So even the greatest enjoyment, and even the enjoyments themselves, contain frustration. Even those moments of enjoyment themselves contain frustration. Because that was what he mentioned many times ago in a Plato's argument, that the moment that a person enjoys something and has a desire for it, and the moment he has a desire is pain, because the desire means he's lacking something. And he doesn't have it. And he'll only enjoy it as long as he has the desire. Once he doesn't have the desire, then there's no more enjoyment. So it comes out, as long as he's enjoying it, he has desire, which is pain. And the moment he doesn't have any pain, he has no more enjoyment. So it comes out that it's integrally structured that way. Many a person that's a chacham, that studies human life, will come to the conclusion, to the ultimate conclusion, that there's no way that a human being can really have a life of total physical pleasure. It's an impossibility. The way the mind is structured, that's what it is. And the mind is structured in the sense that the enjoyments are based upon pain, are based upon desire. The main enjoyments are based upon desire, and desire is pain. And even the very enjoyments that the person is searching for, you see, are not enjoyments that have their roots in reality, but they have their roots in fantasy from early childhood. Reality doesn't conform to it. So therefore, the satisfaction, the nature of the satisfaction is such, I've talked about this many times, the nature of satisfaction is such that the satisfaction is only a satisfaction because it's a substitute for something that really he is looking for in his fantasy. And something that comes close to it, he grabs onto it and says, this is it. Okay? But the truth of the matter is that satisfaction is not what he's really looking for, and that's why no human being is ever satisfied with some acquisition for a very long time. It's only a momentary thing, immediately she goes off to the next desire. Can't, it's an impossible state. It's like, every enjoyment is either followed by depression or by another desire. Every satisfaction. Either followed by depression or another. That's the way the human psyche, that's what it means. This means by the Tzoros and Yiroi. Tzoros and Yiroi means to say that Kol Chayei Olam, even in the most perfect Chayei Olam Hazeh that a person can envision, okay, there's inherent frustration in the enjoyments, and the nature of the enjoyments are frustrating because they substitute types of satisfactions based upon fantasy, and that's why you have to go on to the next thing. So the whole Chayei Olam Hazeh really, essentially, can't really satisfy that. And the second thing he mentions is the Pachad Misa. The Pachad Misa is, of course, it's irrational, as I told you last time, there's no, it's irrational for a person to desire to live. The very desire to live is an irrational kind of thing. Because a person, when he's living, can desire to have satisfaction. They can say, I desire satisfaction for myself. But you can't say, I desire myself for myself, because there is no self. So if a person desires to live, you see, it means that he wants to live for who? If he's not there, there's nothing. You understand what I mean? There's no reason to fear death. Logically, from a logical standpoint, there's no reason for a person to fear death, because death means the absence of a self. You can only be afraid if the self exists, so you can be afraid the self isn't satisfied. But to be afraid that the self doesn't exist is crazy, because if there's no self, then there's nothing. You know what I mean? A person can want to have satisfaction for himself, but he can't want to have himself for himself. What does he want to have himself for? You see? But the truth of the matter is the fear of death is based upon one thing. The fear of death is based upon the fantasy of immortality. Because he doesn't really think he's going to die, and that's why he's afraid of death. Because he thinks he's going to be in a state of death. That's why he's afraid of death. He thinks he's going to still be around, but he's going to be under the ground. Be around under the ground doesn't look like a very good prospect. Okay? I'd be up here. I'd be up here. Okay? But if he really, he can never realize that he really is gone. Because he has the fantasy of immortality. You see, that's why he has the fear. This is totally irrational, but it's the most powerful desire in the human race, and it's completely irrational. It does not make any sense whatsoever. Yeah. That's exactly. That's why, and even in language, you see it's represented in language. It's represented in language by the statement, he is dead. Right? He is dead is a total contradiction. See, if he is dead, there's no is. He isn't. So that's what he means. That's what he means over here. He says the whole Chayei Olam Hazeh, he says really the Chayei Olam Hazeh can be summed up in a very simple way. All the satisfactions and enjoyments that you have are unreal. The frustrations are real. So therefore, a person has all the sorrows in the world, and then from the other side, the other tormentor in life is the fantasy of immortality. Because the fantasy of immortality really torments the person. It's true, on the one hand, it drives him to do crazy things, like he's going to build in crazy kind of empires, you see. But as much as he involves himself in the fantasy of the building the empires, he still, in the back of his mind, knows that he's going to die. So his fantasy tells him he's going to live, but reality keeps telling him he's going to die. So what kind of, he can't have a total satisfaction. He's at war with himself. He's at odds with himself. And the person says, well, now I have enough for my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, who know me in history. It's very true. That might give him, that quote might give him satisfaction, but simultaneously the other thought is there, but I'm not going to be here. But he's caught in conflict. So therefore, he could never have, so he's caught inherently in conflict, he can never really have satisfaction. That's the Chayyar HaMashiach.